听力课堂，听 class.com。
Lesson 1. Fray. Obsolete. Slavish. Strained. Groom. Shun. Civility. Gentility. Loutish.Cumulative, trivial, offensive, manifest, resonance, demean, feminism, blur, derision, imbecile, parasite.Villainous. Tough. Constraint. Failing. Trendy. Bemoan. Deliberate. Sartorial. Aspiration. Ubiquitous.Utilitarian, impoverishment, taboo, erode, orientation, oxidize, nectar, flex, abyss, crook, aerosol.Prowess, detest, defraud, zest, rigging, swirl, trudge, tributary, stub, truce, fetter, languish.
Passage 1. The symbol of the times is blue jeans. Not just blue jeans in good condition, but jeans that are frayed, torn, discolored. They don't get that way naturally. No one wants blue jeans that are crisply clean or spanking new. Manufacturers recognize a big market when they see it, and they compete with one another to offer jeans that are made to look as though they've just been discarded by clumsy house painters after 10 years of wear. The more faded and seemingly ancient the garment, the higher the cost.Dishevelment is in fashion. Neatness is obsolete. Nothing is wrong with comfortable clothing. It's just that current usage is more reflective of a slavish conformity than a desire for ease. No generation has strained harder than ours to affect a casual, relaxed, cool look. None has succeeded more spectacularly in looking as though it had been stamped out by cookie cutters. The attempt to avoid any appearance of being well-groomed or even neat has a quality of desperation about it and suggests a calculated and phony deprivation.We shun conventionality, but we put a uniform on to do it. Passage 2. The decline of civility and good manners may be worrying people more than crime, according to Gentility Recalled, edited by Digby Anderson, which laments the breakdown of traditional codes that once regulated social contact. It criticizes the fact that manners are scorned as repressive and outdated. The result, according to Mr. Anderson,Director of Social Affairs Unit, an independent think tank, is a society characterized by rudeness. Loutish behavior on the streets, jostling in crowds, impolite shop assistants, and bad-tempered drivers. Mr. Anderson says the cumulative effect of these, apparently trivial, but often offensive, is to make everyday life uneasy, unpredictable, and unpleasant. As they are encountered far more often than crime, they can cause more anxiety than crime.When people lament the disintegration of law and order, he argues, what they generally mean is order, as manifested by courteous forms of social contact. Meanwhile, attempts to reestablish restraint and self-control through politically correct rules are artificial. The book has contributions from 12 academics in disciplines ranging from medicine to sociology and charts what it calls the coarsening of Britain. Old-fashioned terms such as gentleman and lady have lost all meaningful resonance and need to be reevaluated, it says. Rachel Trickett, honorary fellow and former principal of St. Hugh's College, Oxford, says that the notion of a lady protects women rather than demeaning them. Feminism and demands for equality have blurred the distinctions between the sexes, creating situations where men are able to dominate women because of their more aggressive and forceful natures. She says, women, without some code of deference or respect, become increasingly victims. Carolyn Moore, the first woman fellow of Peterhouse, Cambridge, points out that gentleman is now used only with irony or derision. The popular view of a gentleman is poised somewhere in between the imbecile parasite and the villainous one, between Worcester's chinless wonders and those heartless capitalist toffs who are the stock in trade of television. She argues that the concept is neither class-bound nor rigid. Conventions of gentlemanly behavior enable a man to act naturally as an individual within shared assumptions while taking his place in society. Politeness is no constraint, precisely because the manners are no code but a language rich, flexible, restrained, and infinitely subtle. For Anthony O'Hare, professor of philosophy at the University of Bradford, manners are closely associated with the different forms of behavior appropriate to age and status. They curb both the impetuosity of youth and the bitterness of old age. Egalitarianism, he said, has led to people failing to act their age. We have vice chancellors with earrings, aristocrats as hippies, the trendy vicar on his motorbike. Dr. Athena Liosi, sociology lecturer at Reading University, bemoans the deliberate neglect by people of their sartorial appearance. Dress, she says, is the outward expression of attitudes and aspirations. The ubiquitousness of jeans displays a utilitarian attitude that has led to the cultural impoverishment of everyday life. Dr. Liosi says that while clothes used to be seen as a mean of concealing taboo forces of sexuality and violence, certain fashions, such as leather jackets, have the opposite effect. Dr. Bruce Charlton, a lecturer in public health medicine in Newcastle upon Tyne, takes issue with the excessive informality of relations between professionals such as doctors and bank managers and their clients. He says this has eroded the distance and respect necessary in such relationships. For Tristram Engelhardt, professor of medicine in Houston, Texas, says manners are bound to morals. Manners express a particular set of values, he says. Good manners interpret and transform social reality. They provide social orientation.